Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Christian Walk. What do we mean by the Christian walk? We mean the everyday life of the Christian. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, he gives us three areas in which the child of God exercises himself, three distinct areas of service toward God. In the 31st verse of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now here we have flying or soaring, we have running, and we have walking. What does the flying or soaring correspond to? It corresponds to worship. The eagle, as it spreads its wings and rides on the thermal, the warm current of rising air, it corresponds to the Christian that is borne up by the Holy Spirit of God and into the presence of God, borne up on eagle's wings, so to speak. Actually, the word for spirit in the Bible is pneuma, from which we get our word pneumatic, which means air. The spirit can be seen, his forces can be felt, you can hear, but you can't see the Spirit of God. They that are born of the Spirit are like the wind, the Lord tells Nicodemus. You hear it coming, you hear it going, you see the power of it, but you don't see the wind. And when we are borne up by that warm ascending thermal of the Spirit of God, if I may refer to it as that, we go into the presence of God to worship. The Spirit of God is the author of our worship. That is one of our activities, and it's a most important activity. And then there's the activity of service. They shall run and not be weary. The servant runs in carrying out his master's commands. We see that so often in the scripture. The servant runs. And so indeed that is an area of our lives. It is an activity of our lives. Our work, if you please. Our service. And if you like alliteration, we're going to refer to these three activities as our worship, our work, and our walk. Now, I think that the walk corresponds to our daily lives. And they seem to be so uninteresting at times, even in the Christian experience. We are so mundane, so geared to this earth, and it would not seem that the Christian should enjoy particularly just living his everyday life, coping with the problems of them. But it is the most thrilling part of our life. As a matter of fact, it is the biggest part of our life. The Christian walk encompasses that part of our life where we indeed spend most of our time. Most of our time is spent just taking care of our own needs, the needs of our families, and indeed we are geared to this world. Now, let's think of the Christian walk as being our Christian life lived before God. It's interesting to me to note that when our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by the Holy Spirit, baptized by John, and also baptized by the Holy Spirit when the Spirit of God came down on him in the Jordan River, that God opened the heaven and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, this was before the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, his public ministry. He had done no miracles to this point. He had worked in his father's carpenter shop. Just the mundane things of life. Shaping the yoke to fit the neck of the ox. Building things. A carpenter, if you please. And yet it was said of that life, when God opened heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Can we please the Lord in our daily lives? Indeed we can please the Lord in our daily lives. And it is a most thrilling experience. And I want this series of broadcasts to make it thrilling in our hearts. Now, during the series, we're going to consider the Christian walk, walking in newness of life, as brought out in Romans chapter 6. That involves a whole new sphere. We'll talk more about that today. That we walk in faith, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, a whole new principle. We don't walk by faith, or walk by sight, rather. We walk by faith. Walking in the Spirit, a new power. Walk in consistency, one new standard for all. Walking in the light, these things are all mentioned in Scripture, and the word walk, per se, is used. Walking in consistency, walking in the light, a new fellowship. Walking in honesty, a new hope provokes practical righteousness. Walking in wisdom, a new awareness. Walking in humility with God, a new companion. You see, we're going to be considering so many things that affect our daily lives and our daily walk. Now we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 these words. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, buried with Christ. Baptism is a picture of it. We get down into the water, which is a place of death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walking in the newness of life, a whole new sphere. Now, before we can enter into this sphere and enjoy it and bring glory to God, we must have an experience. The first prerequisite to life is to be made alive. We're told in the epistle to the Ephesians, and Paul writes it to those Ephesians, "You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." We need to be born again to enter in on the Christian life. That is the first prerequisite to this whole new sphere, this new experience, which we are going to try to make it thrilling. And you that know the Lord, listening to this broadcast, know that indeed it is just that. Now we read also in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and perhaps I should have read this earlier, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." A whole new sphere. Oh, so many things change. How do we get into that sphere? By being born again. Our Lord Jesus tells us, tells Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Who was Nicodemus? He was the teacher of Israel. The teacher of Israel. That's what the scripture uses, the definite article, in the margin, at least. Now, Nicodemus was a godly man by all the standards of moral consideration. He was a godly man. But it is to this man that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It means this. We were born into this world by our earthly parents, but we need to be born into God's family to experience spiritual life. We have a natural life. Each of us has that natural life. We didn't ask for it. I didn't ask to be born into this world. I had no responsibility. But it was my responsibility to believe the message of the gospel, that Christ died on the cross for me. As we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Think of that, if you will, please. God loved me and gave his Son to die for me. Nicodemus was puzzled when the Lord told him that he needed to be born again. We were born again by faith. When we believe that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins and trust ourselves to it, rejoice in it, revel in it. Our hearts go out in faith and love to the one who died, shed his blood to take away that barrier of sin, that we might be born into God's family. When we believe that, the Spirit of God takes the life of Christ and he places that life within us. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the first prerequisite of this new, whole, abundant life, as the Lord speaks of it. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the newness of life mentioned by Paul, a whole new sphere. Now this new experience, first of all, I think probably the first thing we experience when we place our faith in Christ is a peace. It is settled. I'm going to heaven, not because I deserve it, but because God took my sins out of the way. He placed them on Christ on the cross. Peace is followed by joy, the knowledge that it's mine. I claimed it by faith. God gave it to me. It's the gift of God. Then I find that I have a whole new area of friendships. The Bible becomes a new book. I have a new hope. I have a new desire. I have new ambitions. Everything is changed. It's a new sphere, and we like new things, don't we? Now the Christian also finds out that he has new enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he was never aware of the fact that he had enemies before God saved him. But these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, will try to keep us from enjoying the things that we have in Christ, this whole new sphere. And they will endeavor to keep us from enjoying it. The world, that fraternity of men, and we are, each of us, moved by peer pressure. There's no denying it. And they say, don't be a holier-than-thou type. Don't draw the long face. Enjoy life. Enjoy it. I've been saved for many, many years. Before I was saved, I thought I was enjoying life, and I found out I wasn't. Oh, the world would keep us from it, the flesh would keep us from it, and Satan will do his part. But you and I are in, if we're Christians, if we trusted the Lord, we have a whole new sphere, and how thrilling it is. Father, we thank you today for eternal life in Christ. We pray that you bless this series of meetings and make them real to our hearts. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Amen.